We are thankful for each and every one of you, and I appreciate the opening that my brother did this morning, and you'll understand why. I felt God put this message on my heart, not just for the people within these four walls, and I appreciate that we have the ability to stream live on Facebook, and you never know how many people are being touched through that social media outreach. And I believe when God gives a message, he gets the message to those who need it, however he can. So whether you're with us live today, or if God leads you to this in the coming days, welcome, and God bless you. This may seem like a very basic message for some, but it could be fresh manna for those today who are asking, where can I find you, God? That's going to be the title of today's message. And I think it's important because when we feel like God is a million miles away, and we all experience this at times, we need to know it's our responsibility to find him. And I know that statement has been made a part of so many messages that we've heard here. If we can't sense the Lord's presence, especially when we seek him, we've become lost. And when we do find him, we will find that he's been right there with us, because that's a promise from God. In Deuteronomy 31:6, I like the New King James Version. It says, "For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And that means never. So if he feels to us so far away, then we need to make the effort to connect with him, to look for him, to find him. And so I pray God's best for all of you this morning as together we make that connection with him. So a little background. I was initially raised Catholic, went to a Catholic school until the fourth grade. Catholics believe that the priest is needed to lead us to Father God, for example, in confession, where we confess our sins to the priest on our knees in a little room, say a few prayers, and we're good for, what, about an hour? Maybe less if we're driving? But I never felt right about that. And even yet, as a kid, when I did something, I wanted to be good at it. And I wanted to be a good Catholic, so I submitted to the process, not that I had much choice. I received my first communion at 7 or 8, and for the family, that was a big deal. Then was confirmation at about 9, where I was confirmed into the Catholic faith, and then the weekly catechism classes. Now, I'm not bashing Catholics here. Please don't get that impression. And I'm not saying that God cannot be found in the Catholic Church. I'm just saying, in all the time that I spent in the Catholic Church, I never experienced God. And I would ask at times, where are you, God? I didn't know the word like I do now. I didn't know he was right there. And those early years of my life gave me many reasons to ask that question, where are you? My father was an abusive alcoholic who beat his wife and kids. And I always questioned, was I being such a bad kid? What did I do to deserve this? And I knew even as a kid, if there was a God, he wouldn't keep himself from me. That's not the God that I had read about. I believed that I had to be missing something. And then when I was 13 years old, something happened that changed my life. It was a Sunday morning. I was in a church that my uncle pastored, and I was really entering into the worship. The message was speaking to me deep, and after the worship team, and afterwards the worship team, they started playing music again, no singing, just music, and there was an altar call. And I usually watched when that happened. But on this day, I remember being one of the first people to the altar. It was as if my legs were moving before my brain caught up. I was already there. And I don't remember the person who prayed for me. All I remember is when they laid hands on me, I hit the floor, and I was instantly touched by the Holy Spirit. As I laid there, I felt a bright light come over me, and then warmth. To this day, I say that was the love of God, just because of the way it made me feel. I had already accepted salvation in the Lord Jesus, but this was the first time I felt something. And it was the love of God. And it surrounded me, and there was great peace at a time in my life where peace was hard to find. I found or experienced God for the first time in my life while responding to an altar call. And believe me, whether in school or with the kids I played with in the neighborhood who would say, "There is no God," I used to listen to them. And it didn't bother me that they would say there was no God. But after that day, I would never again let people tell me there was no God. My life is an example of the scripture that says in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. And because my love for him continues over these years, I've discovered that God can be found in many different places, all to his glory and honor. And here was the biggest surprise to me at that time, because he wants to be found. And I want to be clear that when I say I found God, I mean I found his presence. His presence was all around me. So God wants to be found, and he wants us to seek him. And not just with the effort we give to looking for a lost penny, but with our whole hearts. Psalm 119, verse 2 says, "Blessed are those who comply with his testimony and seek him with all their heart." If we look for him and keep looking for him, we will find him. And I wondered as I was doing this study, is it possible that there are Christians still looking for ways to find their God? And the answer is yes. Especially young or new Christians or struggling Christians who are in a time of testing where God can feel like he's a million miles away. That's when we need to draw near to him. And there are so many ways that we can do this, but for time's sake, I'll limit it to the ones God gave me during this study. But I'm sure some of you have found God's presence in places that maybe someday you could share as your testimony. So where else can God be found? Number one, the most obvious is the scriptures tells us where to find him. For example, scripture says we find him at the throne in Hebrews 4:16. I like the New Living Translation. It says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." And I know I love to dissect the word when I read stuff like this. When we find God at the throne, we receive his mercy. Instantly. We receive his compassion. And then it says we find grace. Grace is undeserved favor of God. And so I have a new prayer now. When I come to the throne, I know I instantly receive mercy and compassion. And then I ask God to help me find his grace in that situation. And so when I say help me find grace, I really mean help me understand it so it can impact my heart and bring change to my life. And I can appreciate his grace even more. Amen? If I'm told to come to the throne of God, that means the throne is approachable, and in prayer, I need to go there to find him. Next place is we find him in our desperation. For example, David found himself in desperation so many times throughout his life, and it showed in his prayers. In Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2, he says, "How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" David was in a cave, hiding from his own family and his own people. So he felt abandoned by everyone, including God. And I know that some of us can identify with that feeling. But he cried out to the Lord even more. And we see in that same Psalm 13, now when we go to verses 5 and 6, he says, "But I have trusted in your faithfulness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has looked after me." His countenance changed because he started to speak of his God, who had been with him in other dark times in his life and showed him favor. David really loved God, and he knew God was the only hope that he had. So because David spoke well of God in his desperation, the Lord sent Abiathar to David in 1 Samuel 22, verse 23, where Abiathar says, "Stay with me. Do not be afraid, even though he who is seeking my life is seeking your life, for you are safe with me." I'm sure Abiathar was like a miracle for David, and he stopped feeling alone and abandoned. When we are in our times of desperation, do we speak of the goodness and faithfulness of God? If we do, that's where we'll find him. Third place we find him is we find him in our heart. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." We know the heart, the door is the heart, right? We know that the door is the heart. We find him there when we let him in. When was the last time we took time to have dinner with the Lord? We can also find him when our heart is in certain conditions. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." This tells us that God is not only present with us, but because of his compassion, he is near. Near to the pain we feel, near to the loss we can't fill, near to the needs we have. Amen? In Hebrews 11:6, I like the New Living Translation, and we've quoted the beginning of the scripture many times, as it says, "It is impossible to please God without faith." Here's also what it says: "Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." Where must we believe? In our heart. What is the reward? The reward is we find him. The next place we find him is through repentance. By the way, this is a quick way to find him. How many examples does the Bible give of the Israelites being faithful to God in one generation and then wicked through another generation, and yet God tells them if they just turn back or change their ways, he would restore their blessings? The Old Testament doesn't use the word repent. And it didn't matter how many times they turned against him, because God's love for his people is deeper than any man can understand. And it's still that way today. Matthew 3:11, I like what the Amplified says. "John the Baptist said, 'As for me, I baptize you with water because of your repentance.' That is, because you are willing to change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret your sin, and live a changed life." And And the promise of the Lord is this in Zechariah 1:3. I like what the Message Bible says. The Lord says, come back to me and I'll come back to you. Simple, right? We've learned that we reap what we sow. If we sow into the flesh, we reap from the flesh. When we repent to the Lord, we sow to the Spirit, and we reap from the Spirit. We get a closer, more intimate relationship with Him. We find Him. We find Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Many in Jesus' time missed seeing the Father because they didn't see Jesus for who He really was. And let's face it, if mankind could have reached God in any other way, then Jesus would not have had to die. But there was no other way. And thank God the story doesn't end at the cross. Jesus was raised from the dead, proving He was who He said He was in Romans 1:4. Says, who was declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the Son of God and the only way that we can have a personal relationship with our true and living God. John 14, verse 11, and Jesus said to Philip, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. We find the Father through the Son if we're willing to believe, trust, and stand on His word. And this is very, 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 very important. If we don't have Jesus in our life, we will not find Him. If we do, we will definitely find Him. And the last one that I had is we find Him in our worship and praise. This is always one of the ways to find Him that is close to my heart. I love to worship Him. But as many have testified to, I also get the greatest amount of resistance during this time. In Psalm 95, verse 2, David tells us how we need to come to Him in worship. David said, let's come before His presence with a song of thanksgiving. And in Psalm 100, verse 2, he said, come before Him with rejoicing. I believe in the omnipresence of God. God is always there because it lines up with His word. But I also believe in the manifest presence of God where God draws closer to His people because they seek Him. Whether we gather corporately or in our own private time with God, I believe that God in Psalm 22, verse 3, and this is from the American Standard Version, inhabits the praises of His people. So this is yet another place where we can find Him, but our heart and our praise and worship must be all in. Amen? And I'm going to come to a close. We are so accustomed in this day and age of getting things quickly that we really don't know what it means to wait, to press on, to persevere for the things God wants from us and for us. But on that note, it doesn't give us the right to procrastinate either when we know we've heard from God. James 4:17 says, so for the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, for him, it is sin. It's our sin that separates us from God, but that separation is not how we think of separation. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 says, "But your wrongdoings, your sin, have caused a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you." He's still there. But we lose that sense of his presence. Otherwise, his promise to never leave us is false, and God will not invalidate his own word. He's near. And we can get back to that intimate relationship we need and want in many ways. By the way, seeking God's face is synonymous with seeking his presence. That's the connection in those scriptures. As I was putting this message together, I thought, well, there might be some that'll say, he's near, that's good enough for me. But it isn't for me, and it shouldn't be for any of you. Bible says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you." So the question we need to ask is, am I doing the best I can to seek him? When we seek him in his ways, we are in God's favor where blessings flow, and that's why near is not good enough for me. I want to be where God's presence is the best way I can in this sinful body. And when I am ready to find him, and when I'm starting to look for him, I want to find him, and I want to find him quickly. Because of Jesus, we can talk with God at any time and in any place. That's one of the glorious benefits we have because of the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross. And I, for one, want to walk in all the benefits we have because of him. I don't want his death and all he gave up to have no relevance in my life. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't let another day go by, missing out on all that God has for you. My brother said in one of his messages earlier this year, he said, if we're not desperate for him, something's wrong. And that's true especially in these days. And if we're not seeking him with our whole heart, how can we expect to find him? Especially when he tells us how to seek him. Jeremiah 29:13. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You know, I can admit that there have been times where I needed him and he felt like a million miles away, and rather than put any effort into seeking him, I just complained. Like Eeyore, "Oh well, I guess he doesn't think that much of me today." Seeking him with the right heart, a whole heart, lets God know how serious we are in our search for him. He wants to be found. And it's our responsibility to find him. And I'll tell you something, whether you're seeking him, when you're seeking him like he says to, you can find him driving your car, mowing your lawn, in the shower, wherever. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that is a part of our life. Can we just give him a shout out of praise this morning? Can we just give a clap offering to the Lord? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And so I pray for those seeking God this morning that you will find him and that your life will be more blessed than you could ever have imagined, whether it's your first time or your 100th time. Amen? God bless you and thank you.